Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word.
We want to encourage you to contact us. Let us know that you're out there listening to these exciting broadcasts.
Write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Please visit us at our website at Victory in Living Ministries, again, all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org.
And we want you to know that you have been divinely appointed to hear the Victory in Living broadcast. And we believe that you will receive insight in fulfilling your divine destiny. So why don't you let your family and friends know about this exciting series and when to tune in. Listen to each lesson on our website.
Remember, Pam, we are available for weekend services. We know that we are anointed in the Word of God and music for such a time as this. We would love to come and share with any group, large or small.
Well, Ray, are you ready to sing?
I sure am, and it's a great song. It's written by Dottie Rambo. It's one of the old-time ones. It's about probably 30 years old or better. But I learned this a long time ago, and I heard her sing it one night at the Dallas Convention Center, and I really fell in love with this song. It's called "If That Isn't Love." He left the splendor of heaven, oh, knowing his destiny. Oh, was a lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrows can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, well, even in death he remembered, oh, the thief hanging by his side. He spoke with love and compassion, then he took him to paradise. If that isn't love, oh, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry, there's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love.
Thank you, Ray. That was really great. And I know our friends in Radio Land were blessed. Okay, so let's get started with this week's lesson by reading Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Well, over the last 7 weeks, we've learned a lot about fulfilling our divine destinies. What are some of these things, Ray?
Number one, that everyone has a divine destiny. The meaning of destiny is the design, the goal, the intent, the intention, or the objective of our lives.
And number two, that we have to leave the past behind. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Isaiah 43:18 tell us, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. You know, Ray, in that same lesson, we were introduced to the power twins of faith and patience. We found out that we have to have faith to please God, according to Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And when we use faith, we have opportunities for patience to have a perfect work, James 1:4, but let patience have its perfect work.
In the next powerful lesson we talked about, number three, getting acquainted with God. We must know who God is so we can know what God has planned for us. We must read His Word, pray or talk to Him, listen, that means be still and quiet before Him so He can talk to you.
And in that same lesson, we learn that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, all the time, every minute of every day. We also found out that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24 tells us that God is a spirit, and they who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth.
And Pam, in lesson four, when we discussed how to discover your divine destiny, we found out that God's will is His Word, the Bible.
Which means, Ray, that it is available to everyone. You will discover much of it is written in the past tense, meaning that it has already been accomplished. We encourage you to take time to read 1 Peter 2:24, John 16:33, and Philippians 4:19. Ray, did you know that what we are, who we are, and what we have in Christ is for right now, not in the future, because He has already done the work.
You're right, Pam. And folks, we need to realize that we can walk as victors and conquerors, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. And then here's what He's done. He's already said it. Now notice, He's already done it. All we have to do is receive it as already done.
Okay. So the next step is you have to begin to pursue your divine destiny with faith. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses.
You know, Pam, God did not leave anybody out, but has given everybody a dream, which is a strongly desired goal or purpose. And the goal is the purpose of an endeavor or the finish line of a race.
Wow. And on we go to lesson five, where we talked about the steps to the fulfillment of our divine destiny. And step one was that we have to meditate the Word, like it tells us in Joshua 1:8. Do not let the word of the law depart from your mouth. And get this, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Step two, practice the word. James 2:18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
And then step three was that we have to put the Word first in our lives. James 1:23-24 says, for if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But then in lesson six, We were taught that we must immediately obey the voice of God's Spirit. Education and development of our human spirits comes by instantly obeying the voice of the Spirit. Let's look at it like this. God leads us by our spirit, not our mind. God informs our spirit, and our spirit informs our mind. Do we want to be wise and have good success in life? Do you want to fulfill your divine destiny? Of course we want to fulfill our divine destiny.
But we must find out what God's Word has to say. First, you have to practice it. Second, you do it. Three, you live by it. And fourth, then get involved immediately with it as the Lord speaks. And the awesome thing is that the Word of God will bring you into a wonderful place of rest and faith. 1 John 5:14-15, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him.
So, Ray, God intends for you to have a clear conception of what faith is, how faith came, and how it remains. Look at Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is the divine plan, for it brings you to the open door so that you might enter in. Psalms 37:23-24 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand.
You're right. We must have an open door. But as you will read, as you already read in Revelation 3:7, you cannot open the door. It is God who does it. But you must be ready to step in and claim his promises of all the divine manifestations of power in the name of Jesus. It is only then that you'll be able to meet and conquer the enemy. For 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world.
You know, Ray, we could go on and on about faith. But we learned another important fact in Mark 11:22-26. You know, most people stop reading with verse 24, but we need to read on, because in verse 25 it talks about things that hinder faith and prayer. We need to learn to forgive and forget, and holding grudges is trespassing.
If people will notice, God's not talking to sinners here, but he's talking to believers, those who have the God kind of faith. This God kind of faith is of the heart, not the head, but it will not work where there is unforgiveness.
Sad to say, Ray, you know, we can quote the scriptures, make all the right confessions, give all the steps of faith, but if unforgiveness is in our heart, then faith will not work in our lives. So unforgiveness is a major reason why many do not fulfill their divine destinies.
There's another thing that can hinder and keep us from fulfilling our divine destinies. That's the words of our mouth. Reading it in the Amplified, Proverbs 6:2 says, you are snared by the words of your lips. You are caught by the speech of your mouth.
You're right, because words are like containers. They are either filled with hate, doubt, and unbelief, or they are filled with love, joy, peace, faith, and goodness. And you know, we build an atmosphere with words.
So, if you have all the formulas right, but your prayers are not getting answered, the first thing you've got to do is check out to see if you're holding a grudge against someone. Or are the words of your mouth creating the wrong atmosphere?
Remember, there's nothing wrong with the power end, which is God. So if your prayers aren't being answered, then it must be in the receiving end, you.
Up until now, Pam, most of what we've learned has been defensive information. Let's learn about going on the offensive. Let's get ready to take our future by force. To be on the offensive is to get aggressive. Think about the word take. It means to grasp, to seize, or capture.
We need to understand that things in the spiritual realm have to be taken. They will not just fall on us. We have to reach out and take them. We need to also realize that we are a natural human being. We live in a natural world, but at the same time, we're spiritual beings, a spirit. We live in a spirit world. We need to learn to combine the two with God and become an explosive force in both areas of our life. When Ray said the word take, what picture came to your mind? Was it of a hand reaching out and taking hold of something? It's just like when someone wants to hand you something, you have to actually reach out and take it.
The Word of God contains 32,000 promises. Irregardless of what translation you own, those promises were prophecies made by God Himself. Jesus purchased them. But for whom? God? The angels? No, He purchased them for His church.
Amen. God gave us Jesus. All that He is, all that He was, and all that He has done. 2 Peter 1:3 reads, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue."
Pam, did you notice that the word hath is present, which is past tense? So if God hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, how should we respond?
That's a good question, Ray. So why are we sitting around whining and crying and saying, "I just don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it or not. The devil has been after me. My life is torn up." Shame, shame, shame on us. That is where the word take comes in. By faith, we reach out and take what belongs to us to begin to live in the success, happiness, and liberty of the power of the Word of God. Faith takes it.
Mark 11:24, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." That word "receive" should be translated "take with force" or "seize with a grip that cannot be shaken loose." We have to realize and know that Jesus died, went into the pits of hell, conquered the enemy. He rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, ascended to heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father. He purchased all there is in life and godliness, and He's now given it to the church.
And like I said last week, it's time for us to stop acting like we're victims. We're not puny, struggling believers who are somehow trying to learn to cope with the devil's attack against us. We're not merely trying to learn how to scrape by or survive, because Jesus' death and resurrection gave us the legal authority to keep Satan under our feet. So we must always make sure we approach spiritual warfare as victors and not victims.
So Pam, Colossians 2:15 could read, "He gallantly strode into the heaven to celebrate His victory and the defeat of Satan and his forces. As part of His triumph process, He flaunted the spoils seized from the hand of the enemy. Yet the greatest spectacle of all occurred when the enemy himself was openly put on display as bound, disgraced, disabled, defeated, humiliated, and stripped bare."
Praise the Lord, Ray. Satan is not a force we are trying to defeat because he is already defeated, but because very few believers know how to effectively use their God-given authority to resist Satan, he tries to continually, illegally operate and do damage to the souls of men and even to creation itself.
Well, glory. No matter what demonic strategy may come against you this day or how many demons are assembled together for your destruction, you never have to go down defeated. Jesus plundered the enemy when He rose from the dead. So when you look into the mirror, you need to learn to see yourself as one who has the victory. You already possess the authority necessary to keep Satan under your feet where he belongs. Just remember, you're no longer a victim, but you are a victor.
You're right, Ray. We don't have to wait for God to come by and pour us out a blessing. All we have to do is know who we are in Christ, know what we have in Christ, and reach up and take what belongs to us. Let's look again at something we allow to shake faith. In Matthew 14, we read about Peter walking on the water. Yes, he stepped out of the boat. He really did walk on the water. But he took his attention off of Jesus and began to look at the situation and circumstances that surrounded him, and he began to sink.
Like Peter, if we have allowed the circumstances to rob us of our happiness and joy, and they are keeping us from taking by faith what God has already done, then we have to begin to look. See, we begin into looking and listening and feeling the power of the enemy.
Sounds like that we may have lost sight of God and the things of God. The waves of depression, sadness, sickness, disease, and sharp bank accounts have become a part of our lives because our attention has been misdirected. The first thing that robs us is the things we feel. Peter felt the wind blowing on him. You can't see the wind, but you can feel the effects of it.
The second thing that robs us is the way we are affected by the things we see. Peter was affected by the dark, threatening waves. What kind of things do you see in this area that shakes our faith? Well, there's televisions, newscasts, newspapers, magazines filled with reports of fear, doubt, unbelief, and depression.
You know, Ray, we need to realize that we don't have to be swept under by these waves. We can reach up by the hand of faith and take what belongs to us. We can claim God's promises. We may not know how God is going to do it, but in His Word, He promised that He shall supply all your needs.
Okay, then. We can take what is rightfully ours. If the Word of God says it's ours, then it's ours, and we should not let the devil steal what belongs to us. Do we say, well, I thought the Lord was going to take care of me, but I guess He isn't? Shame on you. If we do, we're allowing the devil to rob us needlessly.
Right. Because God has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, as Ray read in 2 Peter 1 and 3. It says that all of us can live in happiness, that all of us can live in prosperity, that all of us can live in health, that all of us can have spiritual authority, that all of us have become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the sons and daughters of God.
We need to look the devil in the eye and say, don't you see no trespassing sign? Pack up your weapons and flee. You have no right, no authority to come in and steal my happiness, health, joy, finances, and prosperity. I've taken them by faith. God said they're mine. You have no authority to them.
Quote the word of God to the devil. Tell him, it is written, Mr. Devil. We need to remember that according to Colossians 2:15, we are the victors and he is the defeated foe. So we need to learn to handle contradictory thoughts. We must quickly cast away every thought that is contrary to the word of God. Have you ever heard the old saying, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head? But you can keep it from building a nest in your hair.
Sure we have. So as we walk this walk of faith, learn to take things by faith. We can't keep the devil from bringing contradictory thoughts, circumstances, but we can sure refuse to think on them. Let's look at some examples. It is written, I take what belongs to me, devil, because the word says that no weapon formed against me will prosper, according to Isaiah 54:17.
No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their judgment is of me, saith the Lord.
That's good. How about this one? The word of God says the devil, that body is healed by the power of God, according to 1 Peter 2:24.
Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed.
Okay, one more. It is written, devil, that in my every need is met, according to Philippians 4:19.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's this way, Ray. When you resist the devil, he will take off for a while, but you know he doesn't stay gone for long. He'll come back, battering at the same door. If you don't reinforce that door with the faith that takes, remember, faith takes it by force. He will eventually batter the door down.
But the best way to combat the devil is not to let him get a foothold in the first place. We need to take our answers by faith and then stay focused on God and His Word. Let's read Mark 11:13-14.
And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs were not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it.
Pam, let's read a little further, verses 20-24. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold the fig tree which thou curseth is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them.
I see. Do you? It wasn't until a day later that the leaves turned brown and the disciples noticed that the tree had died, but the tree actually died when Jesus cursed it. Understand that the minute you reach out by faith and take hold of sickness, disease, or whatever is minding you, and command it to turn you loose, it becomes a reality in the spirit world. So by constantly holding fast to your confession, you can take what is already a reality in the spirit world and bring it into reality in the natural physical world in which we live.
Good. What we must do by faith is to receive our promises, is to reach out and grab them with a grip that can't be shaken by the least little wind, wave, or other contradictory circumstance, holding on to those promises with a firm grip of steadfast faith in God.
That's right. And soon you will have what you are believing God for. The contradictory circumstances will be gone and you'll be walking on to another victory. Then you'll reach out by faith and grab hold of something else, and you'll conquer it. And soon you'll reach out and grab something else and conquer it too. And you'll keep walking. You'll keep confessing and climbing spiritually.
I just had a need. I had a thought. I've got to share it. It is not up to us whether we are going to receive the promises of God or not. God's not going to come and hit you over the head with a sledgehammer and say, get in line. Here it is. Take it. He's not going to drop it on you. He's not going to spoon feed you and force it down your throat. No, all he's going to do is offer it to you.
So what we're saying is you receive God's blessing with the faith that takes. And after faith takes, faith never turns loose. And because faith never turns loose, it leads to success by the power of God.
I hope you've enjoyed this lesson. This has been a great lesson. We've really enjoyed it, and we've had a great time. I mean, we're excited. We want to hear from you. We're really going forth this year. It's a great year of the glory to be in the church and on His people and on the people that don't know God. You need to get acquainted with Him. So let's get with it and let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the victory You obtained by Your resurrection from the dead. No one else could have done what You did for us. You've invaded hell, broke the powers of the demonic forces, seized their artillery, and bound the devil. And because You did this, You set us free. You are our great victor, our great champion, and You are the Lord of all lords. Thank You for cleansing me from Your blood, and granting me the honor to be called a son and daughter of God and joint heir with You. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, according to Numbers 6:24-26.
That is unloved.